God is good. Love you guys. Give another hand clap of praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. Praise God. Man, I am just excited about Jesus. And the Lord said, let there be light. Hallelujah. And there was light. Thanks, Andrew. So, man, I am just, I wish everybody was here today. You know, I always wish that. That's always my desire. It's like Holly and I just, you know, but I'm glad you're here. And so thankful that you're here today because, you know, there's times when God just gives you those words. It's kind of like, you know, being a pastor and being an evangelist are so vastly, you know, there's somewhat similarities, but so vastly different because if you're an evangelist, you know, you have three or four real hot messages and you just can hone them and you can hone them and you can work on them and you can hone them. And, you know, when you go to churches, people get all excited and then they go to another church. So they get excited there. They go to another church. Same message. Being a pastor, you know, the Lord requires me to feed you each week. So, you know, my job is to feed the sheep. So, and getting that fresh word from God each week, you know, it's not like I'm honing this. It's just like, Lord, thank you for that word that people are wanting to receive this week, that they need in their life this week. And so, you know, I want to share this morning. I want you to stand and turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. So, this is just something I just want to share with you for a few minutes today and speak with you. Hallelujah. Genesis 2, verse 8. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put a man, the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. Hold up your Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. Come on, say it, Pastor, today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five this morning and say, don't be a squirrel. Say what? Don't be a squirrel. Don't be going up the wrong tree, man. Hallelujah. You know, I think the greatest roadkill in the world are squirrels. I see more squirrels dead on the road than any other animal. So, and the reason is, have you ever watched a squirrel? They're kind of squirrely. They're squirrely, right? They'll run out in front of your car, and then they'll sit there and go, they'll do a little squirrel shuffle. Should I go? 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 And you're kind of going, whap. You should have went that way, bud. Squash. Amen. Roadkill. And it's like one guy said, you know, at one time in my life, I was indecisive, but now I'm not sure. Oh, come on. Do you love me, circle yes or no? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. We cannot be indecisive when it comes to God's grace. We cannot be living under the law at one moment and performance-based, and then all of a sudden switch back over here to what we believe is our faith-based and grace-based, and expect to receive anything from the Lord. Look at James. Let's go to James. We're going to go back here a second. Go to James chapter, let's just start chapter 1, verse 1, because I love James. It's just a great book. A lot of people get hung up on this book, but you got to read it from the perspective of a grace perspective. You got to read it with understanding who James was writing to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad because of persecution. You know, the 12 tribes is the Jewish people. He was writing to these Jewish believers who were scattered because of persecution. And James, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, not manufactured trials, but various trials, when things come our way because of life, not because of things that you created, right? But when things, you know, sometimes we are just really good at creating our own mess, right? I mean, really, sometimes people are really good at creating their own mess and then want God to get them out of it. And of course, he comes along with grace and he pulls us out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad? Come on, somebody. Has anybody ever created your own mess? Right? I did this morning. I was over there. I was eating a donut, and it was so good. I was sipping on my cappuccino, and these donut crumbs were falling all over the place. And I was sitting there with Chuck this morning, but before I left, I cleaned up my mess. Right? So my mom taught me good about that, or Holly did anyway. Baby, you got to clean your mess up there. Amen. My brother, when you're going through it, he said, count it all joy. Why? Because knowing that the testing of your faith is producing patience in you. Patience. Amen. The Bible says we have need of patience after we've done the will of God. Faith is this, when we're going through things, man, that's where our faith is working at. Faith works in patience. Praise God. Don't get in a hurry. Wait on the Lord. Stay there. I was talking to a young lady this morning, and she's single, and she's saying, I'm learning so much. I'm learning not to make the same mistake that I made before. I said, praise the Lord. She said, Pastor, I'm learning so much. I'm waiting on the Lord. And, you know, I wanted to ask her if she's got her list. Amen. You know, you single ladies, single men too, this isn't bad for you. Get your list of standards. Hold them up high and keep them there. Don't let down. Don't say, well, you know, they really look good. That's one check, but they've got this going on. But they really look good. That's a bigger check, but they got this going on. But they really look good. Big check, but they got this going on. No, get you a list and keep it, right? All right, y'all still with me? Knowing that the testing of your faith works patience, but let patience have its what? Perfect work. Patience has a perfect ending, a perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. That's faith being exercised when you're going through it. Amen? Because you're trusting on him. If any of you lack wisdom while you're going through things, let him ask of God, who gives to all men, while? How? Liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask how? In faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Faith does not doubt. Grace is full of faith, not in your performance, but in his performance. Because what happens many times in this life and in this walk, we want to get measuring our performance instead of trusting what he's already done for us. And when we start walking in our performance, we're no longer walking in grace, we're walking in law. Because law is always performance-based. But when you're walking in God's grace, you're not double-minded. Come on, somebody. Amen. He says, a double-minded man is like a wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind, right? For let no man that suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You can't be over here in law at one minute and be over here in grace in another. You can't be over here in your performance, hello, and then be over here in grace thinking, okay, which one is it, Lord? Which one is it? Amen? And us-ins, you-ins, me-ins, all of us-ins that were raised in a religion was raised with this type of mentality. We had a performance mentality, and we had to be good enough if we were going to receive anything. Grace says he's good enough, therefore you can receive not based on you, but based on him. Wow, go back over to Genesis, because over in Genesis 2:8, what happens is we get this anointing. I call it the monkey anointing, where we're swinging from tree to tree at times. One moment we're in the tree of life, and the next moment we're in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And here God set this up from the beginning. The tree of life is Jesus. Jesus was in the midst of the garden. We are to feed on Jesus continually. Amen. And the tree of knowledge and evil, God says, don't eat of that tree, because the minute you eat, you're going to surely die. When you start eating out of your performance instead of his, you begin to ooze life. You begin to ooze life. God doesn't want you to ooze life. God wants, unless it's his life you're oozing. Amen? But you begin to ooze it. God says, I want you to be feeding on me and not on the law or a performance. Y'all with me this morning? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Whew, man. The law of Moses was extensive, and it contained not only the Ten Commandments, but also another 600 plus laws that they had to keep or were required to obey in order to receive the blessing of the Lord. And people are still trying to wear themselves out keeping what God has already done through Jesus Christ, or trying to keep. You can't do it. It's impossible for you to do it. That's why God sent to us as believers the Holy Spirit. How many know we have the Holy Spirit within our life now? Look at John chapter 16, verse 7 through 9. John chapter 16, verse 7 through 9. Jesus is our tree of life. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, everybody say Helper. Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Right? And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Next verse. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Right? Right? Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So Jesus Christ specifically sent the Holy Spirit to us. The Spirit is our integral part of our everyday life. Amen. It's our integral part of our everyday life. We cannot succeed without the Holy Spirit in us, living from the Spirit and not from the law. Wow. You cannot accomplish anything outside the Holy Spirit working in us. Come on, somebody. Wow. The Spirit was sent to convince people of not believing in Jesus. And the reason people still struggle and have a sinful nature is because they haven't come to the point where they're really believing in God's grace and in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your enthusiasm there. Hallelujah. I just want to say this again. The Spirit was sent to convince people of not believing in Jesus. He was convicting them of not believing in Jesus. That was the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He is convicting them of unbelief. Amen? Wow. And this is the real reason people still live in a sinful nature, because they haven't fully believed in the finished work of Jesus Christ. What? You know, God is the same. He never changes. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The two main covenants in the Bible are the law of grace and the law of Moses. You're either living under the law of Moses or you're living under the law of grace. A covenant, God gave these covenants. A covenant is much stronger than an agreement or a contract. That's when you're married, you have a covenant. You're in a covenant relationship. A contract can be broken, but a covenant can only be broken by death. Are you hearing me? So in the Old Testament, we see the covenant symbolized by the sacrifices that were made. We see the New Testament covenant being symbolized by the sacrifices that were required in the Old Testament to abolish sin. Then Jesus came in the form of a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, John said, that taketh away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. So it was abolished. The old covenant was abolished when the new. That's why Jesus said you can't put, you know, old wine into new wineskins. Because if you do, they're going to burst. Right? So the covenant of the law was conditional and based on our performance. If either party violated the terms of the agreement, it was voided. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all, everybody say all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you what? High above all nations of the earth, and all these blessing shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. How many want them blessings? Amen. Let me tell you something. They're right in you right now. Amen. Only thing you have to do is rest in his promise, not be double-minded, thank him for his goodness and his grace. Those blessings manifest in our lives. But look at verse 15. Look at this. Look at what he said in verse 15. On down. Amen. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses, turn to somebody and say, boy, I am glad I'm not cursed. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus reversed the curse. He hung on the cross. Everyone that hangs on a cross is cursed. He took the curse that you might be the blessed. Amen. Not according to your ability like it used to be. In many churches I grew up, if I was going to be blessed, I had to pray so much, I had to give so much, I had to do this so much, I had to do that so much, I had to go here so much to be blessed. Now I'm blessed, amen, not because of what I do, but because of what he's done. Hallelujah. Woo, yeah, give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. Give God some praise. Amen and amen. So the law was strict and specific, and provided no room for adjustment. But people are still trying to live under it. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says this, the letter kills, but the spirit is life. The law will kill you. People trying to live up to the goodness of God, you can never get there. You can never perform as good as Jesus performed ever. You can't do it. And you're struggling under that weight. You're struggling to say, Lord, how do I do this, God? How do I get this, God? How do I receive this, God? God says, it's already done. Amen. Just rest in me. Hallelujah. The law killeth. Who also made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit? For the letter kills, but the spirit gives what? The spirit gives life. The letter killeth refers to a performance-based mentality that causes people to think that they must do something in order to earn something. God said, I did something, therefore you don't have to do something in order to receive something, because I already did it so that you can receive it freely. Man, that is just almost too good to be true news. Amen? Under grace, technically, we are free to continue sinning. Do you realize that? You can do it. Again, why would you want to? Sin will make you stupid. It caused you to do stupid things. Sin will cause you to wake up one morning and say, who is this laying in my bed and it's not my wife? Hello? Sin will cause you to do stupid things. How did I get home? My car's parked in the front yard and still the driveway. Sin will cause you to do stupid things. You're forgiven, stupid. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you right there. No, I saw somebody just turn to their husband and say, he's talking to you right there. No, but I'm telling you, God is so good and so gracious, you can come into the wonderful grace of God and continue, but why would you want to? Because the consequences here on earth are still dangerous. Your wife may not beat you up, she may shoot you. She may run you over with that car. Hello? There are consequences here in this life for our behavior. God said, I've come to give you a life and give it to you more abundantly. Why wouldn't you want to live the more abundant life? Oh, man, this is good, man. All right, y'all still with me? Titus 2, 11, 12. We know this verse. Us grace people know this verse, right? People need to really see this because, you know, there's doctrines and things out there, you know, with grace, and people need to really see this. Grace teaches us. Grace, Jesus is grace. If you haven't realized that, that's who grace is. Grace is Jesus Christ. Amen? Grace, Jesus teaches us. What does it teach us? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. All men. All men. This isn't a secret. Grace isn't a secret thing. It's appeared to all men. Praise God. They're all out there. They're just waiting for someone to instruct them, to help them, to come to the understanding of what Jesus has done for them. It's appeared to all men. Teaching, instructing us that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live how? Soberly, righteously, and godly where? When we get to heaven? No, in this present age. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Look at Galatians. Galatians is a book, and why are you teaching like this this morning? Because there's so many people that are struggling with self-performance. Guys, quit it. God did, He loves you the way you are. And grace enables you to change easy. It's much easier under grace than it is under your self-effort. Get God in everything and get grace in every area of your life. Surround yourself with it. Everywhere you go, grace, grace, grace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Put it in everything. Put it in everything. Man, if you're challenged, if you're challenging and wanting to go on a diet, diet is self-effort. Die. There's die in diet. Did you ever notice that? Die. It's self-effort. You know, the world says you got to do it this way, do it that way. No, do it grace way. No self-effort. God will teach you and show you by the Spirit what you need to eat and when you need to eat and what you don't need to eat. And what's so good about grace is you can have a donut every once in a while. Yeah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I didn't say a dozen, but I said every once in a while at a time. But every once in a while, you can. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Grace frees you. If the world only knew this, that's why Jesus said grace. I've come to give you grace. Grace frees you. It allows you to be you, amen, and be full of God's grace, and not only for yourself, but for others. We've got to extend grace to others. Well, they're a homosexual, Pastor. God loves homosexuals. What? They're going to hell. You don't have to tell people any of that stuff, man. They're living under condemnation. People are living under condemnation already. You love people where they are. Grace loved you where you were. Aren't you glad? Amen. You love people where they are. You love them with their hang-ups. You allow grace to work in their life, and when grace begins to work in their life, change begins to take place. Condemnation just causes people to repeat what they've already been in. Man, I'm about to preach. Amen. Condemnation, condemning someone, just causes people to repeat what they've already been through. And they get that in their mind and they repeat it and they repeat it and repeat it, and they can't get free from it because they keep falling under, or somebody puts them under, condemnation. Jesus didn't come to condemn. Jesus came to set free. Amen. He told the woman caught in adultery, he said, go And he said, neither do I condemn you. And because I don't condemn you, now you have the power to go and sin no more. Woo! When you find out about this revelation of grace in your life, it is so freeing and beautiful and marvelous. Galatians chapter 3. Let's go here. Amen. So Galatians, the Galatia church, the church of Galatia was getting ready to go back under the law. They were wavering back and forth like so many Christians do. They come into grace and they start saying, oh no, I got to pray a little harder to move God. Or God, you don't care about me. And oh Lord, you don't know about my situation. And oh God, I'm about to give up. What? Give up? Are you? What? Turn to somebody and say, that is never in your vocabulary. Never in your vocabulary. No. God will never give up on you. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Some of the strongest language Paul could use. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? There's obedience in grace, by the way. What? There, grace, man, there's obedience in grace. There's obedience in faith. Faith, true faith, always requires a response. Go on and read James, you'll see. Amen. Shall I obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as, what? Crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Galatians, did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? We have the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of churches will not teach on the Holy Spirit, will not talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, especially with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They cut that all out. They won't talk about it. You know what? I cannot down water the Bible. I am not going to dilute it. I'm going to keep it the way it is. Amen. I think there's such great revelation in God's word in the new covenant. I ain't going to do it. Amen. God desires you. The best friend you have is the Holy Spirit. Jesus living in you through the Holy Spirit. Best friend you have. Why would someone want to get up and downplay that and say, well, it's not for today? Or never talk about her, never expose her people to the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit that keeps you in such, man, fullness, amen? Turn to somebody and say, the Holy Spirit is good. Say, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is awesome. Say, God gave you that to guide you. You know, it's like if the enemy wanted to cause one thing to keep people out of the power that God has for them, he would tell people that, well, the Holy Spirit was done away with in the early church and the gifts of the Spirit were done away with. And people are convinced on that. The Holy Spirit is our greatest adversary. He is our intercessor. He is the speaking and praying in tongues, builds up your faith. Hallelujah. It just allows the Spirit to flow through you. It's a grace gift. Amen. Man, it's awesome. When we were decided to launch this church for a little while, I thought, well, you know what? When we first started, I said, let's go seeker sensitive. Because I saw so much stuff on the other side. A lot of what the people portray of the Spirit as well is not spirit, but flesh. So I saw a lot of that stuff went on. I thought, man, that's just not good. And then the Lord stopped me and said, no. Said, if something goes on that's not of me, just get up and teach about it. And tell him and instruct him what is of me and what's right. But allow the fullness of the Spirit, allow healing and gifts and prophecy to work, because that's how it's supposed to when the church comes together. Amen? Let one of you have a word, let one of you have a song, let one of you have a prophecy. Amen? When we come together, praise God. And when we come together, it's so wonderful because some of us, we need to hear that from the Lord, and God's confirming His word in us. Y'all getting this morning? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Amen? So, you know, we might have been a lot larger as far as people today, But I was not going to compromise or water down the message of God's grace and the Spirit of God. I'm not going to water down. No, give him the glory. I'm not going to water down the Word of God. Not going to do it. Why? Because people are dying and hungry, and there's Christians out there that are starving for grace. They're starving for what God has in his Word. And what's cool is they're finding us. And what a blessing it is. All right, y'all still with me this morning? Wow, the only I want to learn from you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of what? So we receive the Holy Spirit by the hearing of faith, don't we? When the word's preached, faith is coming forth this morning. And are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by your effort? Isn't that awesome? He asked him, are you now being made perfect by your efforts, by your religious ceremonies? He says, is that what's making you perfect? No, that's not what's making you perfect. The Spirit inside of you now is perfecting you. Praise God. That's why he said, I'm going to write it up on their hearts and upon their minds. What is he doing? He's writing up on our hearts and on our minds. The Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us and telling us what to do and what not to do. For you singles, who to date and who to stay far away from. Because you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in you. Turn to somebody and say, yes, I do. Wow, look at this. Have you suffered so many things that religion will make you suffer? It will wear you flat out, if indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works what? Miracles? Really, Pastor? Those are for today? Those are for today. Amen. Miracles among you, does he do it by? Or? Wow. Miracles work among us through the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Hallelujah. Faith comes to us, which we already have, through the Word of God. Hallelujah. And we open up our mouth and we release that faith, and miracles are manifested because of the Spirit and because of grace, not because of our efforts. You know, I know some people, they just believe if they pray long enough and hard enough and get more praying long enough and more hard enough and more praying long enough and more hard enough, more praying long enough, more hard enough, more praying, oh, maybe God will answer. And then when he doesn't, they're all disappointed. Faith prayers are not hard, they're not long, but they are full of confidence in God. Many times they are very, very brief because they have so much confidence in God's ability and not our own. See, what happens when we start praying hard and long, it's putting our self-effort on us. And what we're doing instead of what God's done. That's why Jesus, he would look at somebody and say, eyes be open. Stretch forth your hand. Lazarus, come forth. It was like, boom, boom, boom. Wow. Why is that? Because he was full of faith. Amen. When you're full of faith, you're not struggling. Amen. When you're full of grace, you're depending totally upon him. And not upon you. I don't know about you. I want to depend totally upon him. I don't want to be swinging from the tree of life to the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and back and forth. I want to be feeding at the tree of life. I want to be feeding from Jesus. Amen. I want to be eating the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. I want to be producing the fruit of the Spirit. Stand this morning. Hallelujah. God is good, good, good. Give God a praise this morning. Amen. Isaiah 43:19 says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He was talking about the new covenant there. He was talking about Jesus, a prophetic word of Jesus said, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it's springing forth. Do you not perceive and know? And I will give heed to it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Wow, God is telling people, amen, that he's bringing this new covenant of life and grace to them, amen. God's got a new you in you, hallelujah. Praise God. Hold up your hands this morning. Let's make some confessions today, amen. Father, I thank you today. I live out of the Spirit, not out of the law. I live out of grace. Thank you for your grace. By your grace, I am saved. I live by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. My prayers are answered. My prayers are answered. Prayers of the Spirit, not of the flesh. I walk in the Spirit, and therefore I do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Wow. Think about that, church. I walk in the Spirit, therefore I do not fulfill the self-efforts of the flesh. Amen. I am free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I am not addicted to anything. Say that out loud. I'm not addicted to anything but Jesus. Woo! Somebody just got set free right there. Amen. I'm telling you. Glory to God. Sugar doesn't have a hold on me. Oh, come on. Somebody confess right now. If I want to eat something sweet, I can. But I'm not addicted to sugar. If I want to drink caffeine, I can. But I'm not addicted to sugar. See how good God is? God says you can have it, but you don't have to let it have you. Yeah, that's God. Somebody needs to hear this because there's some eating disorders going on. And you need to know that God loves you and he just wants to help you. Amen? And God didn't want you to be addicted to anything but him. When you pray over that food, we already call it blessed. Amen? It's blessed. Why is it blessed? Because Jesus said he blesses our food and our drink. Did you know that? That food's already blessed. You just thank him for it. Amen. That's good. Why? Because God wants you to live long and live strong. Turn to somebody and say, long and strong. God desires that for you. I know the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit. Amen. Long and strong. Hallelujah. Hold up your hands one more time today. Father, thank you today for your grace, for your mercy in my life. Thank you, Lord, today. I am a believer of grace. I live in grace. I surround myself with grace. I give grace to others. I love them where they are. I love them where they are. Thank you, Lord. Only grace can change. Only grace can change. Let me give you another word this morning. Quit trying to change somebody. Stop it. Quit trying to change them. You cannot change people. Only God can change people. Please stop trying to change somebody. Allow God to do the changing, and it'll be better than all your self-effort combined. That is a word for somebody this morning. Relax. Turn to somebody and say, relax. Say, chill, baby. Say, God's got this. Amen. Hug five people and say, I'm full of grace. How about you?